Hey, we're on. Welcome to East Meets West, episode 61.
61?
61.
And you know, this computer's still not loading. What do you guys have here? Like 486?
Well, I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And
really? I mean, it's slow. I've seen corpses turn over faster than this.
It's a little bit slow, but it's logging in, right?
I guess.
It's churning along.
It's doing something.
Do you see a window screen?
I see a screen.
That's why you listen to East Meets West, to hear Roger complain while his computer boots up.
I like to think of it as a contemporary bitch fest.
So did you see 300?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet. Well, how is it?
It depends on what the type of person you are. Do you like fighting?
Cinematic fighting? Too long can bore me, but I like a good battle scene.
Well, if you had a movie that was just the battle scene, that's pretty much what it is. It's great for women or homosexual men because there are a lot of gratuitous.
This is where we die.
There was a lot of gratuitous over muscular flexing as they swung their swords and threw their spears.
I'm looking forward to the sequel.
600 or 301?
Battle of Salamis.
Oh, interesting.
You know that
they should have done a prequel called Marathon
at the Battle of Thermopylae, held off the Persians just long enough for the Athenians to be able to win the Battle of Salamis, which was a naval battle.
Yes, it was actually very critical because without that battle, the Persian fleet would have been Xerxes. You know, that's the other thing is some of the portrayal. Granted, it is a Frank Miller book. But some of the portrayals they had for Xerxes' army was just a little over the top.
I prefer to call it the Battle of Salamis, which I think goes along with your whole bare-chested men.
Iran is visible, you know, understandably upset at the movie and its portrayal of its history.
But the Persians.
Yeah, because you know, Iran is modern-day Persia,
right?
But the Greeks as well. were quite not as upset, but they were quite displeased at the rather inaccurate and
That's the thing.
Artistic license lent to the movie where men battle without. You know, it's kind of funny because all the Spartans, they have a red cloak, leather briefs, and that's it. They got a big shield, yeah, but you know, even back then, I think they had a little cuirass or something on.
Something protecting them.
I mean, you know, something you can roll a die and maybe get, you know, a
16
nice
hit points.
Yeah, like, you know, -5, you know.
I have to say, I usually am sympathetic to cultures when they are portrayed.
But another
in a bad light.
Another professor of history or Greek history said, "Lighten up, it's a freaking move." And he's Greek, but this is probably I don't know what freaking is in Greek.
Well, and the thing is too, this is ancient history. I mean, it's
don't you ever just say it's just ancient history.
None of these people are the same. They've been so overrun by different cultures and different invaders since then. I mean, I definitely respect long histories. However, I mean, come on, it's a movie. That's what it really comes down to.
No, you're a typical American.
Based on a mythological account.
Approach to your history doesn't mean you can take a crass approach to everyone's history.
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. I want to be careful there because I don't want to take a crass approach to history. But what we're talking about here is the Battle of Thermopylae, which is shrouded in the deeps of time.
I mean,
It was written by Herodotus, who was an ancient historian.
Hey, you know, people fight over the Bible and one history. And some of the words in there go back far beyond the turning from the BC to the AD, and people still.
What about Christmas Carol? That's not even that old, and there's so many different versions of it when it's made into a movie. So, I mean, the Battle of Thermopylae, you don't even know what really happened. Maybe they did wear those outfits.
Maybe
that was a passing fad.
Probably not, because it wasn't noted by Herodotus.
Is that what they're upset about? Is the fact that they didn't wear much?
No, they were upset at the portrayal of history.
Yeah, it's not very. You don't expect that to be.
I understand, but you know, if you know, like I watched this movie this past weekend called The Host, and it's a Korean monster movie, and the opening sequence is. Basically, this American military doctor tells his Korean counterpart to empty all these formaldehyde bottles into the sea, which washes into the Han River. The Korean officer protests, saying, "Oh, it's wrong, it's illegal," and the the white evil American military guy says, no, just do it and get it cleaned.
Right.
And so he dumps it and it mutates into a monster.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's that itself was actually based on a historical precedent back in 2000 when a mortician did empty some 100 bottles.
So what's wrong with that? That seems like a perfectly accurate representation of history.
Ah, but some would say, not me, but some would say that the movie is, because the American military as well, the government also made cameos into the movie, that they are being again portrayed as in a negative
light. Well, that's the thing. You know, anytime you write a story that has any bits of reality in it, somebody's got to be evil. Or else you don't have a very good story. And nobody likes it when something representing them becomes the evil side. I'm sure the Germans love all those World War II movies, but, you know, it's just, you got to lighten up. It's a movie.
Hey.
Because here's one that hits me. I dislike it when people in rural areas are always portrayed as dumb. Because they're not. I grew up in a rural area. There are lots of extremely smart people. Maybe not me, but there are plenty of others who are extremely smart out there, you know, who just don't get the credit because, you know, that's the stereotype, is the dumb farmer. So it's a similar sort of thing.
Were you farmers?
I was not. And that's another hilarious side note. The farmers always considered me a city boy. Because I lived in the town of 5,000 people.
Yeah, I believe that.
When I moved away, I was considered a farm boy because I was from a town of 5,000 people. So, you know, it all depends on perspective.
Exactly.
Big city boy.
You're a big city boy.
I lived in a house that wasn't but 10 feet from the next house.
And indoor plumbing.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, back when
all my farm friends had indoor plumbing.
When I grew up in Modesto, when I grew up in Modesto, I knew quite a number of people whose homes were built so long ago. They actually had outhouses / septic or septic tanks. There was no municipal sewage line out to where they lived.
Well, that's one. I mean, most of my friends had their own septic tanks, for sure. Most of my friends who lived out in the country. But they also had indoor plumbing. I mean, they just had the lines running from the house out to the septic tank. Yeah.
Drill.
Yeah. In fact, my sister has that right now.
A well?
Well, actually, I say that?
Well, not.
But she just got city water.
Oh!
She just get hooked up to
city. She got a city fad.
City water. So, yeah, I mean, that's my sister does live on a farm.
That's cool. What does she do?
Her husband's a lawyer, and she is the other half of the law firm. She does all the business.
Is it a farm?
They live out on a farm.
I know, but why is it considered a farm?
Because it is a horse track, and it's out in the country, and there's, you know,
animals
far, far away. They have horses, yeah.
Okay. A ranch.
I guess it could be considered a ranch. I don't think anybody call it a ranch out there.
I don't know. I've known a couple of people, you know, who actually had, you know, they were far enough outside that they could legally, you know, because, you know, if you live in an urban area, usually there's zoning laws against, you know, chickens and stuff.
Yeah, right.
But they had chickens, sheep.
See, there were no zoning laws against chickens in Greenville, Illinois, when I was growing up, because Mr. Moore, a couple houses down, had roosters in his backyard.
Did Moore have a law?
Yeah, well, he was the algebra teacher. So, yes, he had a lot of laws. He was also the women's basketball coach.
Oh, was he good at it? Did
he
the team ever
good
win?
Good at it. And a fan of the Corvair automobile.
No, which Corvair? The original one that Ralph Nader pretty much...
Yes, that one.
Not the...
The unsafe at any speed
one. But not the one that GM made right after, the whole unsafe at any speed.
No, I think it was the unsafe
at any totally speed. They totally redesigned the rear end. Yeah, well...
No, I think it was the original, because he had it on blocks in his
He had house. It on blocks? Where did he live?
In the garage.
Oh.
He lived two doors down from me. And his roosters would wake me up in the morning.
I have a buddy that lives out in Arkansas, of all places.
Yeah.
And he used to tell me these. He's like, no, it's a bad joke. I won't go into it. It's probably, it's
You started it. Now you got to finish.
All right. So why do white trash have cars up on blocks on their lawn?
I don't know,
it's
Roger.
Because it's their fence. It's how they mark off their property.
Now, see, if I didn't know you, I probably would take offense to that. But whatever. It's actually pretty funny.
It is, because you laugh because you know people like that.
No, totally. Yeah.
That's why I laugh at all those Asian jokes on Comedy Central.
There you go. We all have our foibles.
Foibles.
All cultures do.
I like that. It's a nice way of saying we all have our flaws, but in a very nice
way. But foible sounds nicer, doesn't it? that I'm flawed is okay. We're all screwed up. Not very nice. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. Should we go to the comments already? You got something else? South by Southwest.
Yeah, how was
there.
That?
It was great. We had the panel. I had a panel that was made up of several former Tech TV people. Nicole Carrico.
Cool.
Used to be the lead web producer for the nighttime shows. She now works as the director of creative development for AOL.
Nice.
She was on. Patrick Norton.
Yes,
was
my
on.
Boss.
Jay Adelson, the CEO of Dig and Revision 3, was on the panel. And Greg Brannon, former executive producer of Tech TV.
My other
now,
former boss.
VP, EP of GameSpot.com.
Games and Entertainment.
Of all the games and entertainment, you're right. MP3.com and TV.com,
I believe
too.
You guys folded folding web shots into that department, too.
Ah, you know more than I then. Anyway, he was on that panel, so we all had a good panel on what the next generation of television will be, online, video online, that sort of stuff.
Cool.
And then I took them all. Greg Brannon had to skip out of town. It was nice of him to actually come.
Oh, cool.
He just kind of flew in, flew out, took a piece of his weekend. But the rest of us all went to the Texas Showdown Saloon in Austin.
Yes, Patrick, and, I think got it.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Bad idea. I still know a lot of people who work there, and so I didn't pay for many drinks. I don't know if I paid for any, actually. But it was good to see. I saw a lot of old Austin friends.
That's good.
And got to hang out with the panelistas. So it was fun.
Nice.
That was my South by Southwest. And a bar.
I didn't go.
So you should go next year. Maybe I'll get you on a panel.
Yep.
We'll do guerrilla podcasting.
But if I do... You got to get me so I can stay for the music shows.
Well, see, this
I know,
one...
I know, I
okay,
understand.
Well, no, but here's how it works.
No,
this
no.
one, this panel was both music, or it was both interactive and film,
yep.
which my panel last year was not. So I got a gold pass that got me into the interactive and the film. So all we got to do is figure out a way to make the panel involve music. And then
name
can
your
be all
top,
three.
Top favorite bands, right? Top two favorite bands.
They might be Giants and Uncle Tupelo.
I like the Weepies and
I like the Wannabes
and the Rilo Kiley. Yeah, those are two. There's two bands we got it in. I want because the Weepies were playing there, and I kind of cheesed me off of they're based out of the East Coast, so their concerts are very
See, and the crazy thing about South by Southwest, there's a lot of Austin bands I love, like Fire Marshals of Bethlehem, for instance. The Wannabes, who don't play out as much anymore. But none of them play during South by Southwest usually because there's too many out-of-town bands and they just stay away
Get
from
out
them.
Of my city.
Get out of my city. Went out to the Salt Lick outside of Austin. That's a barbecue place. That place rocks, and it has not gotten worse over the years. Big old barn of a place. The deputies of Driftwood, Texas direct you to park your car, and then you walk in, sit down at a big old picnic table, and they just bring out piles of meat.
Nice. I mean, the only places I remember eating... When I was there, was Threadgills and the County Line.
Yeah, you ate at the new Threadgills too, not even the original.
No,
one.
I went to the original.
You did. You did
but
go to the
that
original.
But that was before I actually went out. That was with my buddy.
And the original and Threadgills is okay.
Yeah,
it's not the best food, but it's Southern style, you know, home cooking. It's not bad.
You know, the one thing I really liked out of that restaurant though was the cornbread.
Yeah, they do make some good cornbread there. I ate at Polvo's, which I had totally forgotten about. It's in South Austin, and it's a great Tex-Mex kind of place. And I feasted on migas a bunch. You ever heard of migas?
No.
It's a breakfast dish that's scrambled eggs, salsa, cheese, sometimes mushrooms maybe, and tortilla strips, all just like scrambled all together. Yeah. It's really tasty.
Yeah. Sounds like a...
And then beans and rice, of course.
Sounds like a mixed-up version of huevos rancheros.
It is. It's kind of like scrambled huevos rancheros, but it's a little different. There's something amazing about migas, I have to say.
It's the people that cook it.
It's a good time. I also went to David Prager's panel.
Oh,
David Prager from Revision 3.
What was their panel covering?
There was Production 2.0. So it was all about how to produce video for the web, how to make TV shows for the web. It was moderated by Zadie Diaz, who I thought did a fantastic job. And it was a good panel as well.
Nice.
A lot of details. If you were interested in starting up your own video production, I would recommend getting that podcast of that particular episode, because ours was very much like, what's going to happen? Very theoretical, very philosophical. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in it as well. Theirs was a little more like, here's how you do
nuts and bolts.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a how-to, but there was a lot of discussion of, you know, what's the best way to go about things, what kind of stuff do you need.
I think the biggest one, and it's funny because I've talked to a lot of people who've always asked me about like the whole production. And I say it's you know, the equipment is not even half of it. It's really kind of getting down a production model that you can consistently do.
Well, and that was one of the points they made, because some of the people on the panel do big productions and some of them do very guerrilla small productions, and it's just a matter of tailoring that content.
Well,
to the,
exactly.
What
and
you
it's,
got
it's kind of
time for.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of your ultimate goal of whether or not you're trying to do kind of a movie or you're trying to do a kind of not repetitive, but a consistent content that you need because you're doing a regular show.
And then I was in Hawaii last week. That was where I was on vacation.
Hawaii.
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I have a. Do you know who Iz?
Yes, I know. He does that version of Over the Rainbow.
That's his big hit. That's what made him famous.
It's not only Over the Rainbow, but halfway through it goes and It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah,
and then he's also well known for being exceptionally physically,
well, he's passed away actually because he was so exceptionally large. But
yeah,
but I of course you hear Iz when you're in Hawaii, and I've got this song stuck in my head.
Country Road?
No, that's a good one too by him though. No, I have Maui Hawaiian.
See,
Superman.
I have that. I actually have the album.
Yeah, do you have the Looking Future?
Yeah, yeah. Looking Future.
Yeah.
Hey, see there, we got our music thing in.
There we go.
See?
But do you think they'll accept this as a
Why
panel?
Why not? Hey.
I don't know.
Let's
see. Jayesh made us some cover art that is available on the website. It shows children of all skin tones shaking hands and smiling at each other.
Yeah, it's not. Wait, what is this?
No, I love it.
It's
the very first post on the comments from the last episode. Subbrilliant.com/EMW.
Loading for me right now. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. I kind of like it. Yeah. Well done. And let's see. Info RSS user says, Andorra has a similar defense system to Liechtenstein. Basically, none at all.
Woohoo.
Its defense is under the joint charge of Spain and France.
Oh, yeah. That's going to make you safe.
A year ago, there was a big controversy in China, Taiwan, and Korea when Japan decided to omit several World War One war facts deemed inappropriate for a Japanese school textbook.
I think it related to the comfort women.
Several Sino-Japanese diplomatic meetings were halted abruptly due to the omission. There were numerous protests and riots in the World War II victim countries, especially South Korea and China. Proof that the animosity between mainland Asians and the Japanese still exists.
Well, you know, and some of that could be considered, righteous anger, you know, in the sense that a lot of people were, you know, upset. But in the case of China, in many instances, you know, things that happen in China don't go on without government permission.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, one of the prime things was the rioting outside the Japanese embassy. Typically, you know, when you have that, it's at any foreign embassy, the government likes to kind of restrict the activities of citizens in that venue because they don't want to give a bad light to the country. But in this case, it was deemed to serve the greater national interest, so it was allowed.
John wrote that actually approximating a liter of fluid is fairly simple since it's defined as a cubic decimeter. Also, Celsius to Kelvin conversion is kind of easy. K equals C plus 273.15. While Fahrenheit is hard because it's K equals parentheses F minus 32 parentheses divided by 1.8 plus 273.15. Since I was raised with the metric system, he says, I can make the unbiased determination that it is superior to all other systems I've never used.
Interesting. You know, it's kind of funny that I was actually doing a little history reading. I guess France actually had their own unique measurement system, indigenous to France. Before they adopted the metric system, I think, in post-World War II. So it's interesting to see, like, you know, a lot of different cultures, how they used measurements. For example, one thing that kind of surprised me was An anthropologist went down to South America to study some of the Amazonian tribes. And one of the concepts that they didn't have was any number larger, or one of the tribes, they didn't have a concept of any number larger than three. She had one, two, three, and many.
Oh.
So it was very interesting because, you know, that's all their society needed.
I like that for estimating how much I owe you.
Many.
I owe you one, two, three, or many. I owe you a bunch.
So, it's kind of interesting because you can kind of see what kind of shaped a particular culture or people.
Definitely. Mark Hudson says, the news is out about the end to Marvel's Civil War. So, spoiler alert coming, folks. Which I was vexed about months ago and was mentioned in an episode of East Meets West. Captain America, spoiler alert, don't listen if you don't want to know how it ends and you haven't read it yet.
It actually hasn't ended, but
this is a very important point.
Yeah.
Captain America es muerte. For me, it's anticlimactic since I knew it was coming, but it's interesting to watch the big media folks respond.
It actually kind of didn't really faze me. I mean, granted, Steve...
They killed Superman.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, for me, Civil War is just a standard Marvel DC, like DC's 52 is a standard event book. And event books usually don't garner enough interest for me unless they're unique. Like, I kind of got into Secret Wars, but the longer it went on, the lamer it got, especially with the Beyonder. It's like, ooh, Beyonder. So yeah, it's like for me, and not to mention they have like Marvel Knights, they have so many different books that have like the alternate universe. So yeah, he's still alive running around. Or and what they'll probably do is take who used to be Bucky, what was his name, and turn him into the new Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's going to be a new Captain America. They'll bring him back. You know they will.
You can't kill the icon, and it's too much of a cash cow for Marvel. And actually, this is actually one of the prime reasons why I'm kind of irritated with DC and Marvel, is that they've managed to go this long without generating one entirely new character that actually has withstood, continuous readings. Captain America, Spider-Man, the X-Men, they were all like, you know, it's created back in
the '60s. They're all old.
Yeah. Where are the new ones? Where are the more contemporary?
Strong Bad and Homestar Runner.
Maybe.
That's the new wave of comics. The Flash.
Actually, you know who actually does a great piece on that is Scott McCloud.
Yeah.
He's written a couple of books. We actually had him on. I actually produced him back for Screensavers. But he did one on reinventing comics. Basically, what's the industry's basically gotten stuck into a rut. It hasn't managed to generate, you know, a kind of a genuinely new idea outside of the independents. And if you're interested in independents, Ape is coming on next month in April here in San Francisco.
Ape in April.
Yep, Ape in April, Alternative Press Expo. I encourage anyone who's interested in comics to attend. But yeah, you know, whatever.
Daryl Adams says, unless you're a Spartan about to be slapped silly by 10,000 Persians, pants are on, Roger.
Oh, you missed that episode, huh?
If you're a Spartan, then it's okay.
Yeah.
And they also said, nice job on Buzz Out Loud.
Woohoo!
Hey, it was nice to have you on Buzz Out Loud, actually.
Yes. Did you get more? No, you didn't get more viewers or listeners, did you?
We got, yeah. I haven't looked. Mm-hmm. I did look, but I didn't match up. We didn't see a huge spike, but it didn't fall off.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
People liked it. No, that was great for you guys to stop by. I appreciate that. And I'm going to skip ahead because I'm sorry. We're not going to try to read everything. But Chris says, proof, quoting a previous comment, proof that animosity between mainland and Asians and the Japanese still exists, which is why some dislike to use the Pan-Asian identity label. Maybe you meant to say most of Asia or mainland Chinese. It encompasses too many ethnic groups, similar to the Caucasian Western European label. As you mentioned earlier, Japan's negative imperial power passed, and the Korean grocery shopkeeper's African-American conflict is the main part of this sentiment.
I agree. I mean, it's kind of weird when you try to carve up literally 2/3 of the world's population into a single identity. And the same thing, it's kind of funny. When people say European, what they're referring to is Western Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
It's
like they generally don't mean Slavics.
Russians
or Russia at all.
Russians don't even consider them.
They consider themselves
Eurasians. They straddle that.
Yeah.
That,
and they are.
Yeah. So it's funny because people, it's like, oh, it's so European. It's like, you know, what are you talking? Is it you think it's Italian? It's Spanish or French? I mean, even in that.
I think the distinction means more in the areas that you're talking about. Yeah. But when you're talking about Asians and Europeans, I think in the United States, you hear that used a lot more. And with Europeans, you just hear it used as white.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just thrown around as Caucasian or white.
But, which is funny because Caucasian.
But Asian is sort of a catch-all because an Italian is much different than an Irishman.
Yeah.
But they're both Europeans, and they're both just considered white in the United States these days, although both of them were not white for a while.
No, exactly.
And so Asian is sort of a catch-all because you don't have the geographic boundaries anymore when people come over to the United States, and so it's like, they're Asians.
Well, yeah, you know. And, you know, even with Southeast Asian, South Asian, East Asian.
Yeah. Those aren't real distinctions when you're in Asia.
So
it's Thailand or Philippines or wherever you are. So, yeah, good point, Chris.
Yes.
Appreciate that. If you'd like to make a good point, you can do so. Subbrilliant.com/EMW. We post the episode, a little description, and then you can make comments on every episode. And we, as you heard, we read a bunch of them. We're not able to read all of them anymore.
No, it's actually gotten pretty big. So I encourage people to write. New people will generally try to pick off their comments to
at least the first time you post. We'll make a special effort.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we'll try to make the effort.
Roger will.
Oh, okay.
I'm too much of a prima donna.
Well, you know Madonna?
I'm prima donna. I'm from before Madonna's time.
So you're not a material girl?
I'm not post-Madonna.
So wait a minute. Does that make you Cyndi Lauper then?
I'm pre-Cyndi Lauper, yeah.
Yes.
I'm Osmonds-ish.
Oh, the brother and sister team.
Yeah. A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. All right, we'll see you later, folks.
Bye.